Our scripture today is from Matthew 22, 1 through 14. And again, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son and sent his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding feast, but they would not come. Again, he sent other servants, saying, 'Tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast.' But they paid no attention and went off to his farm. One went to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his servants, treated them shamefully, and killed them. The king was angry, and he sent his troops and destroyed those murderers and burned their cities. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding feast is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the main roads and invite to the wedding feast as many as you find.' And those servants went out into the roads and gathered all whom they found, both bad and good. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to look at the guests, he saw there was a man who had no wedding garment. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot and cast him into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen.'" The word of God for the people of God.
It seems more and more folks I talk to will tell you their favorite holiday is Thanksgiving. That this is coming up on what for a lot of people is a favorite. I mean, if you think about it, you know, you think of Halloween, it's dressing up and, you know, being overrun by little beggars dressed up and, you know, maybe scaring people and pranks. You think about Easter, always think of, you know, family worship and the things going around there. Christmas, there's the meal, but we always think of the tree and the exchanging of gifts, and there's just so many obligations, so many things, and so many business, so much busyness, and it seems like expectations for what Christmas will be. But Thanksgiving, yeah, I mean, your expectation is to just get so full that you fall asleep on the couch, right? I mean, that's the expectation. We don't have the burden of so many things. I think that's part of it. But if you think of Thanksgiving, you think of the meal and football. But you think of the meal, right? You're thinking of just eating. But it's not just the food, because if that was it, then, you know, we just go to a restaurant and we get a caterer. And well, what is it? It's feasting, which we don't do enough of. I mean, we don't do enough of this just getting together and being with loved ones, enjoying one another's company. And we try to resist, but immediately Black Friday, and you're going to be getting Black Friday ads, and Black Friday is going to start on Thursday anyway, but there's more and more of attempting to make it just a day to spend money. But your real joy is being with loved ones, being with friends, being with family, and sharing in a feast. Sharing the stories and remembering being together. I want you to keep that in mind as we talk about this feast, this celebration. Because when Jesus is saying the kingdom of heaven is like this feast, this wedding feast, it's not just the idea of lots of food, but it's the joy of communion, the joy of belonging to a group, the joy of being welcomed to the table, brought in and loved for who you are. You know, a place where you can relax and there's no expectations other than feast and enjoy and take and receive and take pleasure in what is offered to you at the table. What's offered here is in this feast that is given. Jesus spoke to them in parables. He's being confronted in the temple. He's just told a parable of a vineyard owner who goes out, and that's very much of servants going out to kind of bring accountability, servants who are almost, in a sense, bringing judgment. And here is the flip side of that. Servants going out to extend an invitation. Come, eat, enjoy, take part in. Come and celebrate with us. So the kingdom of heaven is compared, and the ESV translation leaves out a word. It's a man, a king. A man, a king, is inviting you to his, inviting them. He's having the wedding feast for his son, and he sends his servants to call those who are invited. So he's already extended an invitation. He's told people they've been invited, and now he's coming to say, the feast is prepared, the feast is ready, come and enjoy. And so part of what is there is the idea that the king has been preparing it. He's making things ready. He has an intent and a purpose, and at his own cost and at his own effort, he is doing the work of preparing this feast. And he goes, and they don't listen to the servants who are inviting. And so he goes again and says, the feast is ready. We have killed the fatted calf. There's brisket on the table, right? There's steaks, there's filet. I mean, it wouldn't take much for me to be convinced that, hey, this is going to be good. Let's go. He's going over the menu. And part of what we hear there is the expense and the cost. We measure our wealth in currency, right? The numbers and digits in a bank account. Wealth in these days was measured in livestock and land. And what he's saying is that the fruits of this land, the fruits of this livestock, I've paid the cost. I've done all this. This is no potluck. You know, you're coming, and I am taking care of the cost. I'm taking care of the expense, and it's a great expense. Come, they've been slaughtered. Everything is ready. Come to the feast. And there's a group that pays no attention. They go back to their farm. They go back to their work. And there's others that seize the servants who have brought the invitation and abuse them, harm them, and kill them. And so this angers the king, obviously. So, you know, if you've been in a, you know, business and you have an invitation to your boss's Christmas party, you know there's a little bit more than just an invitation there. There's an expectation. And if you have an invitation in a community, there's kind of this sense of, yeah, we, you know, it's reciprocal, I'll to go. But if you have an invitation from the king, it's almost treasonous to turn it down. It's a rejection of him, and it's an insult. And so not only to reject, not only to ignore, but then to harm those who come in the king's name, he is angered. He goes and he brings his troops, destroys the murderers, burns their city. He harms those and brings justice. And then he says, but the wedding feast is here. All this food, what are we going to do with it? And he sends the servants out to go to the crossroads and welcome anyone. Invite anyone to come to this feast. There's no social connection. There's no prior relationship. It's just saying, come enjoy this food. Go out to the highways and bring them in. And so they come in, and then there's this scene that we're wondering what's going on. The man is not dressed appropriately. They've brought in the good and the bad. They've brought in anyone. Indiscriminately, they are welcome to come into this feast and this celebration. And the king looks at the one and sees he's not wearing the appropriate wedding garment. Not saying he's not dressed in the proper labels. It's saying he has ignored politeness. I just imagine him looking a lot like Fetterman. I mean, it's just, I've showed up, you know, I'm very comfortable, and you're just going to have to accept me for who I am. The idea is that it's not that he's not classy enough to have nice garments. The idea is that he is insulting by not being appropriately attired. He's just saying, yeah, whatever. And fashion designer Tom Ford says, dressing well is a form of good manners. That's the idea here. I've been invited to this nice thing. Even the poorest were expected to just wear their clean clothes, not to wear fancy things and silk. It was just simply you're dressed recognizing that you are being honored. And he has thumbed his nose at the king and said, I'm just going to take all the pleasures, but there's nothing from me that's going to be given of recognizing the honor that's given. And he is cast out, bound up into the outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. In other words, just to not be in the feast is to be in darkness. To not be in the feast is to be excluded from the joy. It's to be choosing the darkness and the pain and the suffering. In this time, Jesus very much is telling the parable to the Jewish leaders to say, the prophets have come. They've called account for the vineyard. The prophets have come. They've not only come to call account, the prophets have come. And what they're doing is inviting you to a feast, inviting you to a celebration, inviting you to come and enjoy what God has been planning for all the ages. And it's not just come and enjoy the good things of life. What it is you are welcome into this community. You're part of this family. You're brought into this kingdom. You as who you are loved and welcomed, and you are to come and do nothing other than recognize and appreciate and enjoy the feast that is laid before you and enjoy the company and the joy. And that's been given to Israel, and they rejected. They killed and stoned and harmed the prophets. They turned away from the message, and they said, we're going to do this ourselves. And what Jesus is saying is now it's going to go, and all people, all nations, all people are going to be welcomed into this kingdom. This kingdom is no longer just for the descendants physically of Abraham. This is now for those who are descended by him through faith, who are coming and trusting and receiving the gift that God has given. And for us, it continues to speak. For what it says is, God from all eternity has been planning a kingdom of restoring this creation, of bringing about perfect justice, perfect goodness, but also great joy and communion. And he's doing this for you. This is the gospel. Out of his own expense, out of his own cost, he has prepared for you to be part of his family. Out of all of his goodness, he has done the work. He's not called you in and said, now build this and enjoy it. What he's done is, I've prepared this. It's ready. Come in and celebrate and eat and rejoice with me. It's the gospel that the Son died to forgive you and to bring you into communion and to the joy of the Father. So that all that you think of feasting, of the laughter and of pleasure and of rest and joy is the feast. And we have to see those who respond. And it lays out the different responses for us for the gospel. But we remember that it is those who have been invited to the joy. Last year of seminary for me, I had the pleasure of taking a class that was a tour of the Holy Land. And our first day over, it was a flight through. We flew out of New York. We landed in Tel Aviv. Impressive airport security. TSA ain't got nothing on Tel Aviv. So we were jet lagged and exhausted and immediately got on the bus. And I don't even remember. I think we were in Nazareth. It was somewhere in Galilee. It was like this long bus ride. And it was late at night. You travel and you're clueless what time it is. You've been traveling for a long time. And I go to sleep and my eyes close. And I don't know how long. It seems like 10 minutes. I hear the most raucous party I've ever experienced. It was just loud and celebratory, and music was playing, and you could just hear the joy. And I look out my window, And the whole courtyard is filled with locals who are celebrating. They've gotten the hotel for some kind of event. There's music playing. There's this table spread with all sorts of food. They're dancing. And I look, and one guy is in a chair, and a crowd of people have the chair, and they're lifting him up, and he's waving his hands. And it was an incredible celebration. They were having so much fun, I couldn't be even mad, as tired as I was. And I woke up the next day at breakfast. I asked the whoever's running the hotel, was that a wedding reception? He laughed. That's just the engagement party. Don't even think what a wedding party is going to be. That's just the engagement. And he went on to describe the way. That was the way it is. A wedding feast is a great celebration because part of it's not only the food and the joy, but it's the families and the joy of those families and the celebration. And what you see with this idea of this feast, what you see of the gospel is the Father loves the Son. God loves His Son, Jesus. An amazingly joy that He has. And in that joy, He wants to bring others. The feast is, I am loving my Son, I'm enjoying this, and I want to welcome you to enjoy this great celebration, and that is the gospel. And here is the response to so many people as we share this message, that you have been invited into the joy of the Father and the Son, and to be part of this communion forever. And some of us hear it, and we simply ignore, because we're more interested in the business of this life. They pay no attention and goes off, one to his farm, another to his business. What joy is offered to you in the gospel, but we're tempted to just look at the things of this life. Look at the things that are momentary. How satisfied have you been from the greatest Netflix show you've ever watched? Does it hold a candle to the joy of Christ? Others don't just ignore. They resist. They are angry. They're shameful. They harm. They're the ones who are almost militantly opposed to God. There's not as many of these, but there are some who it's always a snide comment about Christians. It's always some kind of rejection, maybe some intellectual argument that if it's pressed is really no argument at all. It's just a hatred of God. And it occurs to me, whether it's just apathy or whether it's hostility, both end in the same way. They're outside where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth where instead of joy. And everyone is welcome and invited. And there are those who they come in, good and bad. And yet there are some who they think that merely responding intellectually, merely saying, I will take what is good, yet there's no transformation in their life. That's what the garment recognizes. What we see is it's very much the parable of the seeds. It's very much every parable he's been telling in this leading up to this. It's they don't bear fruit. Faith isn't a faith that actually produces fruit, that produces work, that does good things. It's not that one has to do certain things to be invited. But true acceptance and recognizing the honor that is given makes transformation in our life. And so to fool ourselves of saying that we're in the kingdom and yet do nothing in our lives that recognizes the honor that's been given to us shows that we've truly missed it. And yet for those who come and those who recognize the honor, those who receive it, you're welcomed and you're brought in and you have the joy of the Father and the Son. You're invited to be a servant, to go and welcome others, to look at those who are missing, those who are outside. He commands us as his servants to go and invite others into this joy. There's so much room at the table. It's been prepared for those that we want to bring in and want to welcome. So it's a question of where do we find ourselves in this? If you're resisting God, if you're being distracted by the busyness of this life, joy is offered to you. Rest is offered to you. He offers you nothing less than this incredible feast. Come to this table. Come, eat, and receive, and rest in him, no matter what has gone on before, no matter what is in your past, the good, the bad, everyone is invited. Come and take and celebrate what has been given to you through Jesus Christ. It's not based on your work. He has already prepared. He has already slain the fatted calf. He has already made all things ready. And if you are part of that, if you have received and you have come and you partake in the joy, go and invite others. Welcome them and share with them the message. And we celebrate the one who has given us all things. Now unto him who is able to do more than we can ask or imagine, be honor and glory and power forever. Amen.